Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, if you missed it, I think it was last week we were chatting here on the show about trying to make money when you were a kid. We were loving your texts in and your stories about selling lemonade and washing cars and mowing lawns and generally fleecing the neighbourhood. Well, a lot of you listening have kids at home off school for the whole summer. Da, da, da. They're hanging around with very little to do, let's be honest. And maybe you're thinking, it's time to get them to work. Well, I'm joined now by journalist, author, mother of seven, Jen Hogan, who is here to tell us how to monetize on your kids. Isn't that right, Jen?
Oh, that's right. That's a lovely intro. How to monetize your kids. I love it, yeah.
Well, just to remind people of your brood, what is the age range?
So in fairness, the eldest is 21, so I feel less guilty about monetizing her. And then we go down as far as six. So there's three teens and three smallies and one, and then Chloe's an adult. So yeah.
Is summer a madhouse in your house?
It's really hard. Like it's really hard trying to juggle the needs of so many different, such a kind of wide age span, because you can't just do something that suits everyone. So that is really hard, and it's mad, and I'm still working, and you know, you're trying to stay sane and
all these balls.
Everything,
juggling.
All these balls, dropping them everywhere, hoping for the best.
But I love this because I think it's so important for kids to work. I think it's so important for them to learn the value of money. But you've noticed in your own neighbourhood that people are using their kids as sellers, the little market stalls. It's either gaffes. What's going on there?
So it's this really clever way of not only getting your kids to earn a few bob, but also getting rid of your junk and making it somebody else's problem. So there's been a few clear outs and then off go mine, and they come back with somebody else's rubbish. Oh, look at this bargain broken car that I have. And so, but it's a clever idea, you know. It's taking advantage of the kids. Clever idea, taking advantage of the kids. Not in the, doesn't sound right in the same sentence, but that's what's happening.
And it gives them something to do.
It does. You know what? And they actually really love doing that. It's a bit like the lemonade stalls, isn't it? And a bit like selling things that they have inside, or going down to the shop, buying your multi-pack and coming back and selling it all individually for like three and four times the price. Yeah, making a nice little profit. So, I mean, they love doing that and being resourceful and stuff. But yeah, we've seen that. We've seen a few clear outs of, particularly like maybe if somebody's clearing out their playroom or their stock of toys, because maybe kids have grown up and have gone beyond some of the stuff. You'd see the things put out for sale and the other kids.
And that's great because they're over toys so quickly. Yeah. So it's good to recycle and reuse and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But let's talk through the various ways kids can make actual real money during the summer. So let's kick off with babysitting. Now, this is a big question. How young is too young, or what age can you get someone to babysit?
There's actually not an official law around this. It's when the child is considered responsible enough and old enough. So really, it's putting it back on yourself. You've got to make that call.
Okay.
Is the person you're hiring to be a babysitter, do you trust them with your children? Do you think? And I suppose you have to also bear in mind, how young are the kids that you're asking them to take care of, and what are you expecting them to do? Are they just sitting in the house and they'll be asleep and they ring you if there's an emergency, or are they going to have to put them to bed and entertain them for a little while, perhaps beforehand? Is there a baby who's like to get up? So you're kind of you have to ask yourself all those questions again. But sometimes age comes into it less, though you might want to have kind of your minimum mid-teen age before you'd go there, but age comes into it less, and experience maybe a little bit more. Like, have they got younger siblings themselves? Have they experienced minding other kids on the roads or for other people that you know? Like, there's nothing like a recommendation there, or nothing like knowing the person themselves. That's a huge bonus. And in my house, obviously, with there being that many kids, my daughter, she was the most in-demand babysitter I know. But I have a load of sons. And I've spoken to parents about this a lot. And it's not just as simple as the kid being the perfect person for the job. Gender comes into this hugely. And there's an awful lot of parents very uncomfortable with the idea of a male babysitter, which is
sad.
It's sad, isn't it, really? Because you're just reinforcing that stereotype, and really you're kind of setting kids up for the future. You're telling girls, it is your job to care. Boys, you're not capable of caring for children going forward. You know, we're discouraging them from going into caring roles. We're reinforcing the old stereotypes. And sometimes it's for sinister reasons, which is sad to hear. And other times it's just that belief, oh, boys haven't a clue. There's no point in asking them.
Well, your boys definitely have a crew.
They do,
Because they have their crew and they have all that experience in mind in their siblings.
Absolutely.
Of course, that makes complete sense. Okay, so babysit. And what is the going rate for babysitting?
There's a fortune to be made in babysitting.
Oh, there is.
More so in Dublin. and a lot more so in South Dublin, judging by, because I asked people what the different rates were, and it's not unusual in Dublin to be quoted €15 an hour. €15 an hour to babysit. Now, 10 is fairly bog standard. 12, you round up. That's the general thing, you round up. So if you're going into another hour, a half hour, or you owe maybe €48, you round up to 50. So it's a really big expense for parents, but for kids, I mean, they're earning more than lots of childminders are earning. So professionally qualified childminders, and there's teens there with the ability to earn an awful lot more money. But it does depend. It depends on the age of the teen. Often people will feel they have to pay more if it's an older teen.
Yeah.
But generally, at least €10. And as I said, 15, not unusual.
Okay. Okay, so that's babysitting. So what's the going rate then for washing cars and mowing lawns and all that kind of stuff?
That seems to depend. That's the one place where it flips and where you pay more generally in the country than you do in Dublin for having your lawns mowed.
Okay.
And that's, I suppose, because you're talking bigger gardens and you might even have people needing ride-ons. Somebody said that they expect to pay their local teen €30-35 to do an acre on a ride-on, going around cutting their grass.
Yeah.
So generally, again, you'll have as low as 5, some kids trying to undercut the competition. So there's a bit of resourcefulness there happening. But €10-15. Similar for cars. It can sometimes be cheaper to go to the car wash, but you take the hassle away and you're keeping the kids occupied. So there's bonuses too.
And I love this. Is this something that you would really consider, is signing them up to be an extra on a movie set?
There's really good money in that. I was speaking to Extras Ireland yesterday, and there's actually really good money in this. And you can get your children involved in this from all ages, literally from babies right up to near adulthood. You have to give parental permission, obviously, but your child will generally only be expected to work about 4 hours a day, because they're very conscious, obviously. Well, first of all, laws around children working. But secondly, you know, everybody wants the kids to be in good form, because it's not going to work otherwise. There's more money to be made in TV ads, obviously, than there is in photo shoots and being in the background in a photo shoot. But on average, I was told you can expect to earn about €155 per child per day, which is for about 4 hours. So it's
not,
you know,
bad.
It's not bad going.
And they get to experience a set, and they have a proper boss, and they're not always the nicest of people because they're on a budget and they're under pressure, but it's good for them to experience
that
as well.
See what the reality is like.
Yeah,
rather
totally.
Than the dream and the ideal.
And it's not a fame thing, because generally with extra work, you don't, the whole thing is that you can be used over and over again, so you don't get to see their face, so you don't have to worry about that. But that's a really good one.
In the background, but certainly something that, no matter what age your child is, you can get them involved. So
deadly.
Something for everyone.
Deadly. Now, there's a ton of camps on language colleges. Mm. It's happening all over the country. Can teens get some work at like being camp leaders and that kind of thing?
They can. Now, some are really strict and they insist on the child being 18. Well, they're not a child, on them being 18. But there are actually opportunities for 15-year-olds. 16-year-olds. And the reason it's 16 is that's the age you can be guarda vetted from. So most of them, if you're working with children, you must be guarda vetted. Now, there, of course, are the I'll throw you a few bob if you give me a hand and we say nothing. That happens more in local camps than in maybe national camps that are around the country. But even ones like Cool Camp, FAI camps, they will hire from 16-year-olds up. So it's worth checking out the site, seeing if there's something in your area available, and they can get involved from that young age. Local camps are always, though, more likely to involve younger teenagers than some of the national camps, because they maybe have to adhere to stricter protocols across the board because they're dealing with larger numbers. But there are national camps that will take them on.
Oh my God, my kids are going to be flat out this summer. Flat out. And
it's a living crisis.
I know. They need to earn their keep and learn the value of money and keep them occupied and they learn new skills. Is it true your son is pestering you to get a YouTube channel, or what's going on there?
Yes.
Tell me about YouTube.
YouTube. So, I mean, this is a really big one for making money. It's watching the videos. You know that you see the kids watching videos of children opening toys or opening Pokemon cards or playing games, either if they're older kids playing games. So there is the potential to earn money there, you know, but you need to build up your numbers. You need to have lots of people subscribing. Then you can maybe get involved in advertising and things like that. That's harder said than done, because they think, oh, sure, it's no bother. I'll just open all these cards and everybody's going to come watch me. It's a very difficult one, because
that's the long road, isn't it?
It's the long road. You know, I've heard one of my lads say, oh yeah, when I grow up, I'm going to be a YouTuber. At which stage I just go, oh my God, all these homework battles, all this, it's not even worth it. He wants to be a YouTuber. But this is, I mean, this is what they're aspiring to be now. Yeah.
And do a lot of your kids, does a lot of his friends have YouTube channels?
A couple
channels?
Of them do. Yeah. You know, it's an ongoing battle at the moment at home. I'm saying no, we have kind of a compromise because he was talking about dinosaurs and we'll have dinosaurs fighting each other and his face won't be in it. And he goes, doesn't matter if my hands are. I'm thinking, you're grand.
Okay, that's a good compromise.
Yeah, we'll do that and maybe put some music over it so nobody hears his voice. And and then he's looking at mum on her Instagram chatting away. He's going, yeah, it's okay for you, but it's not okay for me. The whole hypocrisy comes up then, but that's a bit different to say I'm a grown up. But it's trying to have that compromise. It is the long game, definitely, but there are kids making a fortune out of
millions.
It. Making a fortune, literally opening toys or playing games or revealing what's in their packs of cards. It's mad.
But if you have a child who really wants to do this,
yeah.
I love how you compromise with them and said, okay, well, you can do because he's been pestering you. We're not going to show your face and we're going to have music. So, you know, so he's still, that's a good compromise. How many followers do you need to have to start making money or how many subscribers do you know on
YouTube?
Well,
I was Googling to try and get an idea, Googling what other YouTubers had put up. And they had said it's about engagement usually. You have to show that you have engaged followers. So they said it's really when you're into the thousands that you're talking making money, but from the hundreds on, there's always potential. But they were saying it's really slow to build, say from even 10 to 100. It can take months. It could even take years. It's all well and good. You might get could be your school pals signing up. Are they engaging? Are they doing anything because of it? It depends how quickly you can get your subscribers. But people, like most things, like Instagram, like any of the social media platforms, people are those that want to invest or spend money or, you know, advertise with you, they're all looking at not only the number of followers you have, but how engaged your followers are. So that's what they're trying to build up. So having your kind of bot accounts following you is going to do nothing for you, and having people who subscribe but never engage isn't going to be as helpful. It is the long road, but it just keep them out of your hair, even if it's not making money.
Yeah,
it does
exactly.
Potentially keep them out of your hair, because a lot of time going into creating those YouTube videos.
Totally. And if your kid is good at video games generally, there's competitions, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. So anybody who's got boys will know about Fortnite, and I'm sure girls play it too, but it was before my daughter's time, so I'm not so sure whether there's as many girls. I hear boys talking about Fortnite a lot, and FIFA, you'll have boys and girls playing it too. So there are competitions, like when you go onto the actual websites that run those, and there are sometimes huge monies. I think last year the prize for the Fortnite competition was 3 million.
Whoa.
Now the chances of winning that 3 million, pretty slim, but there are local competitions and there are different opportunities. And even playing the games, again, people like to watch that on YouTube. They like to get their tips, they like to just watch when they're not playing games. They want to watch people playing games. It's the way it's gone. It's what young people are watching or what kids are watching now. So again, opportunities to make money there.
Last opportunity I want to talk about is focus groups.
Yeah. Now there, I suppose this is kind of an indirect way maybe to make money, because often they're more interested in what the parent has to say. So you might have a focus group and you can go onto something, a place like opinions.ie or one example, and they'll go in and they'll want your feedback based on being a parent in for particular things. And the way they pay, you know, you do surveys, you fill out questionnaires, market research, they pay through vouchers. So, you know, it's a handy way to earn a few bob, put it by, buy stuff you need further down the road. But it's based directly on your experience, in some cases, as a parent. So it's that indirect way, as opposed to setting your kids down and getting them to go through hundreds and hundreds of surveys.
Absolutely.
More's the pity.
But look, it's amazing. I mean, just what you can get your kid to do or yourself to do.
Yeah.
I mean, this is food for thought and motivation for, I would say, anybody out there. There's actually no excuse. If you go looking for it, it is there. There is money to be made. You just got to get up off your arse and do it.
You do. And not feel too bad about exploiting your kids.
Don't feel bad about exploiting your kids.
It's cost of living crisis.
Absolutely. You know, and it keeps them busy.
It does. It's good for them. It's good for their development. It's good for, you know, your relationship with them, because they don't drive you as crazy then. You know, so it's all good.
Well, listen, thank you, Jen, for coming in today. Always lovely to see you. And you can check out Jen's columns in the Irish Times or check her out on Instagram. Her handle is at Jen Hogan Journo. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.